Hi, this is Echo from Apocalyptica. I was here in Ozfest, Dallas, having a great time with Lars, having a little chat with him. So please have a time and listen to it.
So there was some amazing lineups just on stage with the Dimebag tribute.
Yeah, it was fun. My friend Jerry Cantrell called up a couple days ago and asked if I would be part of this thing. And no disrespect to Pink Floyd, who I have nothing but love and admiration for, but I don't know their songs that well. So he said, will you play this Pink Floyd song with us? I'm like, okay, sure I will. Yeah. So I had to ask Kirk or somebody, you know, what's the song? Is it difficult? Does it have like 9 tempo changes? Is it something I could play without kind of having to spend too much of because we're doing right now, the last couple of days, we've been mastering the record. The last 2 days, so there's all this craziness going on with finishing the record and just rehearsing and all this other stuff. So we played the song, Wish You Were Here. It was fun. I didn't make any mistakes. And I played on Vinny from Damage Plan and Hell Yeah and you know, on his kit, and it sounded great.
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was great.
Great lineups. It was great to see all these great metal band members, you know, from times and the same time on stage.
Max and Igor up there, and Kirk Hammett and
Kerry King.
Nick from Grim Reaper.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Cool. That was very cool. That was a nice added thing to the day.
Yeah. You mentioned the new album. It's going to be out, if I remember right,
September 12th.
I remember Metallica always being the band, you know, bringing out something new and something fresh, you know, putting some new guidelines to the metal scene. So what do you feel? What's going to be like a new thing on the – what's going to be
I don't know,
new that, or it's going to be more like a back to the roots kind of thing?
The easiest thing for me is to tell you what people – I played it for a friend of mine in Brian Slagle a couple songs last night. He liked it a lot. I played it for, you know, a couple of guys in Merciful Fate. I played it for a couple, my guy Nez and Jerry Cantrell. Everybody who's heard it really seems to like it. It's a little difficult for me because we finished mixing it Thursday, about 2-3 days ago, and we started mastering it on yesterday. We've been mastering it the last 2 days, but this is the first time in 15 years that we're not actually there. Usually, you know, as you probably know, you go and master your record, but they're mastering it in New York. Rick Rubin's in L.A., and me and James are down here in Dallas. So it's a little bit like, you know, I wake up, I have to listen to the spaces between the songs, and then the space between the second and third song is not right. And then we have to call that in, and then, okay, an hour later something else shows up. My head is kind of spinning right now about the, you know, Death Magnetic. So the people that have heard it seem to really like it, you know, back to the roots. It certainly is very hard. It's got a lot of energy, and it's got you know, some very long songs again. And there's, you know, we started writing this album 2 years ago when we were in the midst of doing our Master Puppets 20-year thing.
Played the whole album.
For about 6 months on tour, we played the whole album. And so when we were writing, it was while we were doing that Master Puppets thing. So I'm not saying, you know, it's not Master Puppets Part 2 or any of that nonsense, but it's...
But kind of influenced.
It's a little bit inspired by some of those records. Who you know as well is, you know, after we finished those records up to And Justice for All, we basically ran as far away from those records as we could with the Black Album and the Loads and the Symphony records and the cover records and all that. So I think we're always a little intimidated or maybe uncomfortable about going back and using those records for inspiration, because I think we felt that maybe we would, by being inspired by those records again, we would somehow take something away from what those records meant. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
And Rick Rubin finally convinced us 2 years ago that it was okay for us to be inspired by our own records.
So we kind of
got over that hurdle. So certainly a lot of people say that it's kind of a back to the roots kind of thing. And it certainly sounds more like the records that we made in those years than any of the records we made in the 90s, that I can tell you.
Yeah, because I saw some shows this summer in Europe and also last year or year before, and you seem to really enjoy to play also a lot of old material.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, you got to remember, I mean, as you know, we try to change the set list and do all that stuff. And, you know, we just up through the 90s because we basically toured continuously through the 90s. You know, we played so much Black Album Load and Reload that it was like, okay, enough, you know. Now, so the last couple of summers when we've been doing some of those shorter summer vacation tours, as we call them, we've been playing a lot of the early stuff. And it's kind of fun. I mean, but playing all of Master Puppets 2 years ago was really cool. And it was also because, I don't know about in your band, but with us, as the years go by, we continue to change the songs and we continue to rearrange them and we take parts out and we make other parts longer. And so when we sat down to actually learn Master Puppets, most of the songs we played differently. So we actually sat down to learn Master Puppets the way it's recorded.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun. So we kind of almost like started over with it. And then when we played the album, you know, front to back, we played it exactly as it was on the record. And that was pretty cool. So it got us kind of in that mind frame, you know?
Yeah, but it's cool. You know, different things work in the studio and different things work on stage, length of the songs and the structures.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were making a couple of records with Bob Rock. So how was it to work with Rick Rubin after those years? And you know,
I mean, yeah, we made more than we made records with Bob Rock.
Five?
But you got to remember, though, because we don't make records for, I mean, we made records with Bob Rock for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. That's pretty crazy.
It's a long time, so it's big change, you know, change of producer.
But you know what? I got to tell you, you know, I've played Bob the new album. Bob is one of my absolute best friends. You know, Bob is cool. I kind of think when I told him 2 years ago that we were going to work with Rick, I think that he was in some way relieved. I'm not sure that he knew what else to do with us either. Do you know what I mean? And it was just time to, I've known Rick since 1986 when he walked into a show in New York backstage with a copy of Rain and Blood in his hand, going, check out this band I've produced. I was like, who's this 19-year-old kid in our dressing room? How did he get in, you know? Yeah. Rick's been a great friend over the years, and I've always wanted to make a record with him. So when we decided that maybe we should reinvent the wheel a little bit, Rick was the obvious guy. You know, it wasn't like, you know, let's talk to the guy who does Green Day, or let's talk to, I mean, it was just, we're going to work with Rick Rubin, end of story, you know? So it's been a very interesting couple of years, very different. He has a very different approach. You know, Rick is not a musician like Bob is. Rick is not he's not a technical guy. He doesn't turn knobs and stuff. He basically sits on the couch just like me and you were sitting on, and he listens.
So he goes to the floor and, you know,
he's all about ears and opinions.
Yeah.
He's not, he won't like pick up a guitar and go, why don't you go to F sharp instead of G?
Yeah.
You know, in the chorus. There's none of that stuff. And he doesn't sit there and kind of tweak and go, well, let's try. He basically sits there and goes, that works, and that sucks. He uses very, he's very blunt.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, he'll say things like, I want to hear that 1,000 times over. And then, you know, he'll say like, that makes me want to kill myself and never listen to music again. You know, it's like, wow. It's very interesting that our music can have that kind of effect on somebody. So he'll sit on the couch and go, you know, that makes me want to kill myself. I go, does that mean we should try it again? So he's that kind of, you know, and the great thing about him also is that he always speaks his mind. He never holds back. I think Bob, over the years, as mine and James's relationship sometimes got more and more difficult in the studio, I think Bob spent a lot of time kind of refereeing and trying to compromise.
Being the balance between the persons. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And trying to compromise between James and me. And Rick just says what's on his mind. He don't give a shit.
That's cool, yeah. Because we worked the new album also with this kind of producer that it was not the musician and nothing, you know. It was like something, he was just saying that, you know, this sounds complete shit, or come up with something better, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like getting the flow and trying to guide the flow, but not telling exactly what to do.
Yeah.
It's just all the time, you know.
The hard thing sometimes with Rick is that he'll literally be like, you know, an emperor. He'll sit there and go thumbs up or thumbs down. Yeah. Literally like, you know, yeah. God has spoken. But sometimes you sit there and go like, well, how can it be better? And then it's like, just go f***ing make it better. And it's like, well, do you have any suggestions? Sometimes he makes you kind of figure it out for yourself, which is challenging
yeah.
because it makes you work harder, which I really like because yeah. it forces you to really you know, push yourself, and he doesn't just hand you the results on a silver platter. Do you know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean? It's like, just yeah. go make it better.
Yeah, when it's good, and then it's like, okay, how we can do it better? Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the next level now. That's, I love it, yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, he's a great guy, and he has a very calm energy in the studio. You know, it's very, everything's very relaxed, and there's no stress, and it's all good.
It's cool. And you're coming up with a big tour after album release?
Yeah, we're going to start.
They are not announced and they're not going to
yeah,
be announced.
No, they're going to be announced. Actually, I think in the next couple of days, we're doing like 4 or 5 months in America starting starting in somewhere in late October, like third week of October, something like that. We're going to roll in America through February.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go and roll through Europe. We haven't done an indoor tour in America since 2004, since we finished the St. Anger tour. We've actually spent most of the touring the last 3-4 years in Europe, as you know. So we're going to do a proper indoor tour in America, and then we're going to do a proper indoor tour in Europe, which we haven't done also for a long, long time. So we've played so many festivals, so many stadium gigs, so many big fields and all this stuff. And now we're going to bring it indoors and have some of that kind of indoor energy, which
has
a
completely different flavor.
Yeah, completely different.
Yeah, I think it's exciting always to change the,
the
size of the venues. And do
it's great. I mean, being indoors, as you know, is the energy is contained, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like a vibe, and we're whenever we play indoors, we always try to, you know, play like in the round or play in the middle or screw with the setup, the configuration. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's gonna be fun. We're gonna play. We're working on trying to get the stage back into the middle and do some crazy things like we've done the last few years.
Yeah, it's been great. I remember very well the first time we played at Super for You. It's 96. It was very great for us because we just released the album, first album with Metallica covers. And just like 6 months later, we were supporting you in Helsinki Ice Hockey Hall. And I remember those times. And, you know, I've been watching Metallica shows since 91 when you were first playing in Helsinki with the Black Album.
Yeah,
actually, you came twice with the same album in the beginning and the end of the tour.
Yeah.
It's been great, but there's been no possibility to see you indoors. So I think for fans, it's going to be...
Oh, it's great.
Really exciting to get Metallica back in indoor.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I know up in Helsinki, there's a new indoor venue, right?
Yeah. There's
and there's new venues all over Europe, and there's a bunch of new venues in America. So it's great. I mean, playing indoors, like you're saying, it's just, it's special. It's much more intimate. I mean, listen, you know, I'm not complaining about playing stadiums and fields whatsoever, but obviously, you know, when you're playing indoors, it's just always exciting because of the intimacy, and it's and we get a chance to screw with the setup, you know. So we play in the round and we get some different things, and man, it's crazy when you have 20,000 people indoors and there's a roof on it and all the energy stays in there, you know.
But the touring schedule sounds like you're still motivated to play shows and long tours even after
almost
30 years.
We're actually going to do something that we've never done. We're going to do a very crazy tour schedule. We're going to go on tour for a week, and we're going to go home for a week, and then we're going to go on tour for a week. So we're going to literally play, obviously not in Europe, but in America, we're literally going to play 5 shows, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and we're going to go home and take care of and bring our kids to school and soccer practice and do homework, and then we're going to go and play 5 shows again the next week, and then we're gonna go home. And so it's be literally for 5 months. It'll be week on, week off, and we've never tried that. So it's gonna be interesting to do that. And I think it's gonna be much better balanced because it's not gonna get to the point where you just get so sick of touring that you don't. You know, we've had so much fun the last couple of years doing shorter tours, but doing them more often.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So instead of this 6 months and, you know, 6 weeks in a row and all that crap, we do, you know, 2-3 weeks in Europe. Then we take a couple of weeks. Listen, we'll tour forever as long as it's just balanced right. But I can't do the stuff about, you know, 6 months in a row or 3 months in a row where you're not home, you don't see your family. I mean, that's not going to work. These are, you know, you have a son. I mean, these are the best years of, you know, of their lives. And I'm not going to miss that. And Hetfield's not going to miss that. And so it's about balance, you know. And so we're going to do this crazy schedule, literally week on, week off, and it's going to be great because it's not going to get us to the point where we get sick of it, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because we've been touring since October. We released the album in Europe in October. It was released in April in States, but, you know, since then, in the first 12 months, we're going to have 145 shows.
It's crazy.
Which basically means constant touring, and it's impossible to live proper family life.
Yeah,
you know, with the kids, and then you get frustrated on touring, doing interviews and everything. You know, even playing shows is always fun, but you get frustrated on everything around that, and it's like, want to, you know, keep in touch with my own house and, you know, stuff like that.
No, I mean, you know, we've been doing this for 28 years, and listen, I mean, when we were young. I mean, you just wanted to stay on tour. You didn't want it to end.
Yeah, it
you
doesn't matter where
you stay on tour. You wanted to get drunk. You wanted to meet the girls. You just, it's like, I don't want to go home because when I'm on tour, it's like I'm in my little bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't have to deal with anything. But when you're 45 years old, I mean, we got 10 kids between the four of us.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different thing, you know. So you gotta do that. And I think finally for the first time in this band, we all agree on that. And there's a, you know, there aren't a lot of things we all agree on in this band because we're all very different. It's not, you know, you guys are all from the same, you know, I mean, you guys all Finnish or whatever, you know, the U2s of the world all come from the same neighborhood in Dublin or whatever. As you know, we're all very, very different people. We don't have a lot in common other than Metallica.
Yeah.
And so now we have this thing in common about our kids and our families and our priorities. And it's actually in some weird way, it's actually, I think it's brought us closer because it's like, we want to go home and take care of our kids and do that stuff. And it's not like two guys want to stay on the road and get drunk and get laid. Yeah. You know, everybody wants to go home and take care of their kids. And then it's almost like we've realized, half jokingly, of course, but it's like you go home and take care of the kids for a week. Then you go, you know, going on tour, that's like, it's vacation.
Yeah, yeah. Right? It's like, exactly.
Oh, I'm going to catch up on my sleep now. I'm going to go on tour, you know.
Yeah,
it's like, it's cool.
Thing. And I think with a lot of bands, it's the same thing that, you know, you start the band when you're kids, so, you know, you're young, like around 20 years old. But then when you grow up and everybody, as a person, grow up and face the different things and different times that requires loads of open-mindedness, you know, that to accept that somebody has, you know, the low moments or high moments or whatever, coming together with girlfriends or family, getting kids.
I've actually realized
also the same stuff always.
I've realized, you know, I think all of us who play music, sometimes we use the word work. We have to work.
Yeah.
Playing music, that's not work. That's fun.
It shouldn't be,
The work part is getting up at 6:30 in the morning and making lunch boxes for three kids and driving them around the suburbs of San Francisco to all these godforsaken activities. That's work. Going out on stage for 2 hours and playing rock music with your friends and traveling around and meeting people, that's not work. That's fun.
That's easy. Hanging around, you know. You don't need to take care of nothing else by yourself, you know. I have the same thing, you know, we go tomorrow, we fly back to Europe, and on Monday evening, I'm at 6 o'clock in the evening at home, and with the time difference, whatever, Tuesday is the first school day, and my younger one is going to school for first day.
Right.
So 7 o'clock in the morning, wake up call, no matter what, it's a chat like or nothing, so that's work.
I know, exactly, that is
But it's fun work, that's the best work.
That's great. I'm not complaining about either, but I'm just, we've started realizing that, you know, going on tour, that's you know, that's great.
Relaxing,
I catch up on my sleep. I can see a couple of movies on pay-per-view TV. Get to hang out. I have a glass of wine with my friends. Man, that's all good.
Yeah, well, I'm very much looking forward for the new album. You know, very excited to hear that. And you know, maybe we pick up some songs from there and to make some apocalyptic versions out of
that. That would be awesome. That would be an absolute. That would make us proud. I mean, if you guys, I think that there's a lot of stuff there that's pretty crazy, and there's a lot of you know, there's an instrumental that's 10 minutes long, kind of like Cthulhu and Live Is to Die and stuff. There's some crazy, some next level. I did an interview with this magazine, Modern Drummer, last week. And we've just started doing interviews, and people ask me, like, what do you think of the record? It's like, I don't know. I'm still making it. Ask me in 6 months from now when it's done. Yeah. I don't know. You know, let me get the record behind me. But I'm sitting there doing this interview with this drummer dude, and super nice guy, and he was like, so in song number 7, when you play, you know, 5/6, and then you go into 3/2, and then you vamp out on this. I'm like sitting there going, like, what are you talking about? I have no idea what he's talking about. He's like completely analyzed like every part of my drumming for every one of the songs, and like I've like no idea what he's talking about. And it's very, he says all these, like, it's all these complicated time signatures, and it's all this like crazy nutty arrangements and stuff like that. And listen, we just play and we just do what feels right. And it's obviously awesome that somebody like him can sit down and interpret all of it. But my point is that when I heard him describe our new record back to me, I was like, yeah, I guess it is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of nutty stuff in there. So maybe you guys, we'll find something fun in there that you guys can take to another level and
sure
make pretty nutty, extra nutty.
Or something different at least.
Cool.
Because I think it's funny that somebody analyzed your drumming, because I think always as a drummer, you don't play drums, you play music.
Yeah.
And that makes it always recognizable, which
I know.
Is very,
but it's like these guys
are
sitting, write it all down, and now he goes into this signature, and it's like, dude, what are you talking about? It's like, it's,
I just
so
do what
crazy.
I feel.
I don't even know. That's cool. Kept using the word vamp. Then you go into this vamp. I had to ask somebody yesterday, what does vamp mean? I don't even know what the fuck that means.
For me, it's been first interview ever I've done with anybody.
Well,
and I'm very honored that it's
well, I
it's
appreciate
with you,
that, man. Thank you. That's great. Well, I appreciate it. It's always nice to be interviewed by musicians because you feel like you're speaking the same language.
We have, in a way, a special history because, since 96 we made the record, you've always been so supportive for Apocalyptica.
You guys came over and supported us for the symphony thing and the whole thing.
Yeah,
so
all this stuff.
Great,
it's been great. Cool, and it's been great to follow up the career all these years, and really much looking
forward. Good luck with next week when you have to get the kids up for school. And
that's hard because on Thursday we play already in Romania and Friday Hungary, and it's back and forth. It's been insane summer, but it's good to be here in America.
Let me tell you, we were just in Romania 2 weeks ago, so we got them ready for you.
Okay.
All right,
thanks for your time,
man.
Lars.
Take care.
Yeah, take care.